Okay, the last time we were together, we've been going through the Gospel of Luke one verse at a time, and in that process, we have discovered many things about Jesus Christ, all about Him, and it's about what He can do, not in that day only, but what He can do this very day, this very hour. What can Jesus do? Last week, we discovered that there was a man who was possessed of a legion of demons, and his life was totally, completely wrecked. We saw what the devil can do in someone's life, and you don't have to look far to find the devil's work, do you? No. But praise God, you also don't have to look far to find the Lord's work, and the Lord can meet the devil head on in someone's life and bring a change, a real change. So now after he comes back from the country of the Gadarenes, in Luke chapter 8, verse 40, so it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitudes thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceive that power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter's dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." And when he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep, she's not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, and he took her by the hand and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. So this story, what happens when Jesus comes back from that great deliverance of that man who was demon-possessed, and he comes back, the multitudes were waiting for Jesus. They welcomed him. They were waiting for him to come back across the sea because they had seen what Jesus could do. They had discovered his power, and we've already seen his power over demons. We saw his power over nature as he calmed the sea on that lake on the way over. We see his power in his preaching, in his proclamation. And here we see his power over sickness and disease. But there's a sin or sickness and a disease that has permeated the entire human race. And that is the disease of sin and rebellion. And that disease infects us in a thousand different ways. And it shows itself with a multitude of different heads that come from that one little root of sin. But as we look at this story, we're going to see what happens to a woman and a little girl. And both of these ones and their situation. Really, we're going to talk about the father of that little girl because he's the one that came to Jesus. But these two came to Jesus. Now, that's the first thing I want you to notice in this passage of Scripture. In the midst of their problem, and they had trouble. This woman had real trouble. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. And that is, I don't even want to talk about it, right? But that's what she had. And it would not stop for anything. We live in a society today where if you have a problem like that, you can get help for it, right? Medical help for it. There was no help for it there. She had spent everything she had on physicians, and it didn't help her any. So she was in dire straits. Now, not only that, because of that issue of blood, under the Old Testament law, she was an outcast. She wasn't allowed to be with others. She wasn't allowed in the synagogue. She wasn't allowed to touch anybody because she was considered unclean because of this issue of blood. Now, those were health laws in the Old Testament. That was their purpose. But they had become more than that. They had become so ingrained in their society that if anybody had an issue of blood, they were shunned and they were outcast. So this woman was a complete outcast. And now we look at the other situation and we have this man, Jairus. Who was he? He was the ruler of a synagogue. That tells us that he was a man of importance, a man of prestige in the community. Now remember that the rulers of Israel were rejecting Jesus. They wanted him put to death. They didn't want anybody to have anything to do with Jesus Christ. So for this man to take that kind of a step, he was taking a huge step in the midst of the pressure of what will other people think. Now, I know nobody lives with that problem anymore, right? What will other people think? And, you know, I like that little song by D.C. Tuck. What will people think if they find out I'm a Jesus freak? What will people do if they find out it's true? Well, there comes a point where it doesn't matter anymore. There comes a point where the issue that you have in your life is so important that all you care about is that this be dealt with in your experience, and you don't care who knows and you don't care what people think anymore, because it doesn't matter. And in eternity, it won't matter. And it really doesn't matter now. What matters is that we get what we need in our experience. And Jairus here, who was the ruler of the synagogue, he had a crisis that nobody could help him with. And this crisis touched him in his deepest place. His daughter was sick to death. His daughter was on the way out, and she was dying. And so what does he do? He falls down at Jesus' feet and begs him to come to his house. It doesn't matter what everybody else thinks anymore. What matters now is that his daughter needs healing. Nothing else matters now. Can you imagine your daughter in that kind of a situation? You would do almost anything. And not only was it his daughter, what was it? His only daughter. His only daughter. And it would be very likely that this was his only child. It would be very likely, the way this is expressed here. And so he is desperate. There is and there needs to be some sense of desperateness in your life, or you won't come to God. Why would you bother? If you don't have any need, if everything's going your way, why should I need God in my life, right? Of course, there is a desperate situation in every person's life, and that is, the Bible says, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after death comes the judgment. And so there is a need, but some people don't see the need. If you don't see the need, you're not going to do anything about it. But sometimes it's a gracious thing in your life to come to the place of desperate need so that you're looking for answers and you're looking for hope. Jairus found himself there. This woman with the issue of blood, she found herself there. And many here have found themselves there at some time or other in your life and experience. You need Jesus Christ. You need him. And you need more than just to know that he exists and just to know that maybe that the things he said are true. You need something deeper than this, and we're going to find how they found it, and you can find it as well. Here's what happens. As Jairus comes and to Jesus Christ, it says, but as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now notice something. It says, as he went. Immediately, Jesus said, I'll come. In one of the other Gospels, it says immediately he went and followed Jairus. Now, I want you to know something, and this is very important to understand. Sometimes it seems hard to get a hold of God in a way. It sometimes seems hard to touch him. But I want you to know that he's reaching out to touch us. He's come a long way to reach into this world. He's come a long way to reach us. He left the halls of heaven and all the glory of it and the perfection of it to come down to earth to be with us. He came so that we might touch God and God might touch us. And that is just wonderful that Jesus Christ would do this. And we see this as he comes to this multitude of people. He comes to the people. You know, sometimes you might think, well, if there's a God, he certainly doesn't understand what I'm going through. If there's a God, what does he care about me? But yet at the same time, we understand that Jesus Christ was God, and that God became a man, and that he was tempted in every point like we are, and yet without sin. And yet he was persecuted, and he was abused, and he was, all kinds of things were done to him. And he was hated and despised and rejected. And finally, he was taken and crucified on a cross. God understands what it is to suffer. God understands what it is to go through deep trial. He understands what it is to be absolutely, absolutely depressed. You go in the garden and you find him on his face, weeping, sweating as it were drops of blood. And we understand that God knows what it's like. He's been there. And so here he is, God himself, walking among men, getting a request to go, and so he goes. But the multitudes were gathered around. Now we have this woman. Jairus comes up and he plainly says the problem. And sure enough, Jesus says, I'll go. So they're on their way. But now this woman comes. And what does she do? She breaks every law. How do you know that? Because she had an issue of blood. She was considered unclean. She wasn't allowed in a crowd. But did she care anymore? Didn't matter anymore. I don't care what the crowd is. I don't care what anything else is. I must get to Jesus. Above everything else, I must get to Jesus. And somehow this woman, knowing who Jesus was, it says, first her condition in Luke 8:43. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, she spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. She was at the bottom of it all. There was no hope for her. Have you ever felt that way? There's no hope for me. I have. There was no hope for her. There was no other avenue left. There was no other open doorway. Well, I can always do. Well, I can always go. Well, there's always this. There was none of that. And sometimes that's the way it is in our lives. No hope left. But I want you to know, where Jesus comes, there's hope. Where Jesus steps into the picture, there's hope. Where Jesus is, there is hope. And somehow, in the midst of her pain, in the midst of her trial, in the midst of her isolation and everything else that came with it, there was a glimmer of hope came. Excuse me. And that glimmer of hope was Jesus Christ. And so much so, it says she came from behind and touched the border of his garment. Well, you know, the Gospels are interesting because there are four stories of the life of Jesus. And some of them tell parts of the same stories. So to get the whole picture, sometimes you look at the other Gospels. There are four witnesses of the life of Jesus Christ, whom, by the way, would stand up in any court of law as valid testimony, not rigged, because they didn't tell identical stories. They told it from their perspective, what they saw and what they heard. And so when we look, we find in the Gospel of Matthew, it says, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. But we find something more in Matthew's gospel, because it says this, for she said to herself, if only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. Somehow, she knew that Jesus was so powerful and so real and so able, she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be made well. That's what she believed. And so she's reaching through the crowd, and you can picture her as the crowd is thronging around Jesus, a multitude of people. You can picture her trying to get through and squeezing and pushing in every which way and just reaching out and just somehow just getting just to touch the hem, just the very edge of the garment of Jesus Christ. What would you say was happening with this woman? What was in operation in her life? Faith. She had faith. She had faith that Jesus Christ would heal her. She had so much faith that he would heal her that she didn't even have to hear a word from him. She had faith that he didn't even have to turn around. He didn't have to say anything or do anything. All she had to do was touch Jesus and she knew she'd be made well. In Mark's gospel, it says the same thing. She suffered many, but she was getting worse. Not only was she in bad condition, not only had she tried to get all the healing, but we discovered in Mark's gospel, it was getting worse and worse and worse. It wasn't getting better. You know, that's kind of a picture of what our lives can get like, can't it? doesn't get better and better. It gets, sometimes it gets worse and worse and worse. On our own, in this world, when we're trapped and when we're caught in whatever situations we are in, it gets worse and worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. So what happens? She reaches in and she touches him. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. Luke 8:44. Immediately it stopped. Well, wow. She was healed. Now at this point, she was incognito. At this point, even though she was, you know, had an issue of blood and everything else, nobody else knew who she was. She was just in the crowd, right? Even though she was breaking the law, nobody else actually knew it. But Jesus said something. He said, who touched me? Now, we find a little clearer here in Mark's gospel. It says in Mark 5:30, and Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Now, even though Jesus was God in the flesh, did he know everything while he was here on earth? No, he didn't. He set aside that privilege. And everything that he received from the Father and the Spirit. Because, you know, at one point, Jesus said, the day and the hour of his coming, nobody knew, not even himself. Didn't he say that? And at this point, he didn't know who touched her. Now, Jesus knew a lot more than you or I, because he was living in this sweet communion with God. And at the end of the journey, when he reaches down to wash the disciples' feet, it says, Jesus knowing all things. So all things were revealed. But at this point, he didn't know who touched him. He was carrying on walking in the crowd. Now, how many people touched Jesus that day? Pardon me? A great multitude touched him. It says, he turned around and said, touch. But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? Hundreds of people have touched you, Jesus. Well, if hundreds of people touched Jesus, how many people got well? Pardon me? No? Just the one. Just the one. Why was it that all this multitude were following Jesus? They had an interest in Jesus, right? They were excited about Jesus, and they were touching Jesus, but they didn't get anything out of it. Why is that? She believed. What were you going to say? There was faith involved. Here's the thing. Not only did she believe and there was faith involved, she knew she had a problem. And she knew that Jesus had the answer, right? Some of the other ones, they didn't have any problems. This was like the circus. Hey, there's a new act in town. His name is Jesus. So let's follow him for a while, right? There's lots of people that are like that. They like to follow things because of the fad of it. And they'll drive all over the country for the excitement of it, like Chase the Ace or whatever, right? Well, there's lots of people who followed Jesus, but they didn't follow Jesus for the right reasons, and they weren't getting really anything out of it. In the end, they didn't get anything out of it. And sadly, that's often the case. But I want you to know this. When you have a need, and you recognize that need, and you see that Jesus Christ is your only hope, and you come to him, and you cry out to him, he'll touch you. Virtue will come out of him. Blessing and power will come from him, and he will heal. He will set people free. And the worst sin and the worst disease of all is sin on the inside and all that it produces. And only Jesus Christ can touch that. Only Jesus can set us free, truly free on the inside, so that we are no longer a slave to sin. That's what the Bible says. No longer a slave to sin. Praise the Lord, God is able to do this. And so this woman who comes, and this woman who reaches out with her need, and with her recognition of Jesus Christ, and with that faith that she has. Now listen, you don't have to have a lot of faith. Remember what Jesus said? He said you can have faith as small as a grain of mustard seed, and you can make a mountain move. It's not how much faith you have, it's where you put your faith. It's placing your faith in the right place. And this woman did that. And she reached out. I know that if I can touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. And that's where the disciples, they couldn't understand what he was talking about. They said, how can you say who touched me? Everybody's touching you. And how it is that so many can be in a church service or read a Bible or be in somewhere with the things of God, but not experience the touch of God because there's no heart there. There's no desire for a real, real relationship with Jesus Christ. I need Jesus. I need more than a little bit of fluff in my life. I need Jesus Christ working in my soul, and I need him every single hour. And so, what happens? Jesus turns around in Luke 8:47, and she comes after he asked the question. The woman saw she was not hidden. She came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And what did Jesus say to her? Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Did he say, you unclean woman, you came in the crowd, you touched people in the crowd, you touched me, I'm clean and you're unclean? Did he say that? No. I want you to know that Jesus is so full of love and compassion for you in whatever hard circumstance you're in, that he loves you and he's deeply committed to blessing your life if you are willing to allow him to touch your life. He loves sinners. The Bible says God so loved the world. And so he's not cold or hard or harsh or indifferent. He knows the pain. He has seen the day of your birth. He has seen every incident in your life. Some of the things that have been done to you, he sees them all. The things that you've done to others, he's seen them all. The wrong decisions that you've made, he's seen them all. And often we can feel like God doesn't understand. I want you to know today that he fully understands and he fully cares. And what he's looking for you to do is to reach out in faith and touch him. And you know, sometimes you're too weak. Sometimes you don't even have the faith, and you don't have the strength, and you don't have the ability to even find God. That's what this little girl was like. Could she get up, this little girl, Jairus' daughter, could she get up and go and find Jesus and somehow touch him? She couldn't do anything, could she? She was too far gone. But I want you to know there's hope for even the too far gone. There's hope. Because somebody else took her. Somebody else went and got Jesus and brought Jesus to her so she could be made well. And that's really what God's called us to do, to be like Jairus and taking others to Jesus, bringing Jesus to others, bringing them into the presence of Jesus Christ that they might experience the touch and the blessing of God. So here we have two pictures. One, someone who has at least has the strength to reach out and touch Jesus, and someone else who has no strength whatsoever, but both of them experienced the healing power of Jesus Christ. Thank God that Jesus is that full of compassion that sometimes we can get to him and other times he has to come to us. But he will do whatever needs to be done in our experience. But don't discount how important it is to be like Jairus, ready to bring Jesus to other people, no matter what the crowd might think. Because Jairus, I'm sure, got some real heat being one of the leaders when all the other leaders wanted to put Jesus to death for him to come and fall down at the feet of Jesus. Whoa. He got heat for it, but he didn't care. Why? Because his daughter's life was on the line. And may God give us the same kind of compassion that people's lives are on the line. That people's eternity are on the line. Not just for sickness, but for true spiritual healing. Because listen, everybody's going to die. We're all going to get sick and die. And if you don't think you are, well, maybe if Jesus comes back, you might not get sick and die. But we need to understand there's a deeper death. There's a deeper problem than the physical things of this world, and that is your spiritual life and eternity. And so, Jesus said to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace. The healing touch of Jesus Christ sets this woman free. She reaches out and touches him. And then we have the story, of course, in Luke's gospel as they come to the synagogue, the ruler of the synagogue's house. And this is utter despair. No hope left here at all. The girl's dead. That's what they said, isn't it? Don't trouble the teacher. Your daughter's dead. This is you're hitting beyond the point of help here. This is too far. Send him away. Jesus can't touch this. It's too difficult. It's too hard. It's too deep. I want you to know Jesus can touch anything at all. Even death bows to Jesus Christ. Even the worst of troubles, the worst of trials, the worst of circumstances, the worst of sin, Jesus Christ can set captives free, and he can set you free. So Jesus heard what they had to say, and he answered to Jairus, right? Because you can imagine as Jairus comes close to the house and he's bringing Jesus along and he's thinking about his daughter and she's near unto death. And you can imagine all the emotion that this man was going through. And as they get near there and he hears this news, you can imagine what happens to him. Oh, I'm too late. What does Jesus say? Don't be afraid. Only believe and she will be made well. Again, an opportunity to trust God, to believe. When he came in the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the girl. Jesus didn't stop coming. Praise the Lord. He kept on going. In the meantime, they were all weeping and mourning for her. And what a clamor that would have been. Because when the Jews would be experiencing, when someone died in a Jewish family, they would have this mourning, and it would be everyone would start to wail. And still, in Eastern countries, you'll see that happening. A wailing will go on, and sometimes for days on end. Now, the person is usually buried immediately. No wake or anything like that. But the wailing goes on for days. And actually, if you have any amount of funds, you hire mourners to come. And lots of music is played. It's all mournful music. And mourners come, and they're professional wailers. And I don't mean going fishing for whales. They're wailing away, right? So this was a house of mourning. And it had become that already, it says. They were weeping and mourning for her. And Jesus said, don't weep. She's not dead, but sleeping. Now that leaves us with two options. One, in the Bible, often death is called sleep. Or she wasn't actually dead. She could have been in such a coma that they thought she was dead. We don't know which one it was. But we know that whatever it was, Jesus was enough for it. And so what does he do? They ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. They were certain she was dead. They said, you're crazy. But he put them all outside and took her by the hand. Little girl, arise. And her spirit returned, which means she was dead. Yes. And she arose immediately, and he commanded she be given something to eat, something practical in the middle of it all. God likes practical things, doesn't he? That's good, something to eat. We're going to get something to eat pretty soon here too. So, what does he do? He gives it back to her parents, who were astonished. And then he says, now don't tell anybody, really. Right? Don't tell anybody. Now why would he say don't tell anybody? He would be so thronged, and it got that way, that it was difficult for him to do the ministry he wanted to do. Because Jesus' ministry was more about the soul than it was about the physical healing. The physical healing was a testimony that he could save souls. Because there are times when Jesus was healing people, and then he says, I got to go. I must go and preach the word to other people. Because it is the truth that sets people free. And you know, sometimes, I mean, you know, a person could have a problem, and I could say, well, let me put you in a position where you don't have that problem anymore and try to keep you away from the problem. But trying to keep somebody away from a problem is not an easy thing to do. But if the heart is changed on the inside so that the desire for that problem is no longer there, then I'm free. Jesus wants to bring deliverance on the inside, not just on the outside of our lives. So here we have these wonderful stories here of the life of Jesus and what he can do in broken situations, that he can touch us and that we can touch him. God has made it so that God and humanity can touch one another. And the touch of Jesus, one touch is enough. One touch is enough to save a soul, to forgive sins. Yes? Are you okay? One touch is enough to transform our lives. So listen. Drag yourself to Jesus, whatever way you can. Never mind, whatever it takes, drag yourself to Jesus. But in the meantime, call on him to come to you. He'll come, even as you're dragging yourself. He'll be coming to meet you on the road. and drag others to Him too. Pray for others. The best thing you can do is to pray for people. To keep on praying for them, that they will be brought into the presence of Jesus Christ, where their healing and hope come. Because that's just what He does. Who touched me? Thank God, it's Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Dear Father, we thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that there's hope today for everyone. We bless your name for it, Lord. And we praise you, O God, that, Lord, we are not satisfied with just the external touches of the crowd to know some things about you. But, Lord, we want all of who you are in our lives. We want all that you have for us, Lord. And we thank you that you are willing to give all to us. You showed it because you died on the cross for our sins. And we are thankful today that any person who repents of their sin and trusts in Jesus Christ is saved. We're thankful today, Lord, that we're going to celebrate that in baptism. That the ones who are being baptized are not saying they're perfect. And they're not saying that somehow they've achieved something better than anybody else. And they're not saying that getting baptized saves them. They're saying, I've come to Jesus. I've dragged myself to Jesus. I've called on the name of the Lord. I put my trust in Jesus. And now I'm saying that I'm dying to an old way of life and I'm rising to a new way of life. And that Jesus Christ has made me new. And we're so thankful for that expression of that today. We're so thankful, Lord, that there's hope in Jesus Christ. And we pray that every person in this room will find and make certain that they have been saved, touched, healed, forgiven by Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.